Good evening. It's good to see everyone. I hope everyone is looking forward to the taste of spring we've got coming this week with the warmer days and the rain and things of that nature, and we'll get a little taste of winter again, and then spring will finally be here, and I know there are a number that are looking forward to that, and just so you know, I am too. But it is good to see everyone that is able to be out this evening. I encourage you to open up your Bibles and to study with me as we study from the Word of God. As we just sang, number 118, take time to be holy. That's going to be pretty much the text of our sermon this evening. If you look on the back of your outline, I've got a copy of the song there for you. Or if you would like to have it open in your song book, we'll be referring to it from time to time. But you know, when we look at these things, as we sing our songs, they are designed to instruct us as well as to praise God. And oftentimes we get so caught up in the notes, the music of the song, that we fail to pay close attention to the words. And when we're singing these songs of praise to God, or when we're trying to teach and admonish one another in songs, we're making these statements. And we need to make sure that we're looking at the things that we're saying and that we truly mean the things that we're singing. In these songs, as we've noted before in Colossians 3 and verse 16, we teach and admonish one another in these songs. And it is through these songs that the Word of Christ can richly dwell within us. By looking into these songs, we need to look at and they have merit. And one of the beautiful songs we have in our songbook is the one that we just sang, Take Time to Be Holy. It has a beautiful message, a beautiful meaning, and it's beautiful to sing as well. But the most important thing is the message behind it. And certainly as we look at how we are to be as children of God, we are to be those that are to be holy. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, there in verse 15, to be like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. God tells us that we should be holy, for I am holy. Peter quotes this in 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 16. And so holiness is something that we need to have in our lives. And as the song says, we've got to take time to be holy. We can see the need to take time. It's not something that just falls upon you. There are those in the religious world at large that believe that holiness just falls upon you, like the Holy Spirit just falls upon you, and then all of a sudden you're just a holy individual. Your entire life is changed. It doesn't work that way. It requires that we take time, because as the song says, the world rushes on. The world is busy. It's like those pictures you see where they're taking a picture of a light and it's just a red blur down through there. Cars going down a road. It's just this red blur. And that's the way it feels that the world is sometimes. It's just everybody's moving so fast. We're all in such a hurry. We're always running late. We've always got so many things that we need to do in our life. And the thing that the song is trying to tell us, and the Lord tries to tell us throughout the Bible, is that we need to stop. We've got to take time. We've got to give time to the Lord to be holy. Our lives, we read in James chapter 4, are but a vapor. In James chapter 4, beginning there in verse 13, James says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away." James explains it to us. Our life is short. Some of you who are older than me, it seems like life just whizzes by, doesn't it? You know, you talk to people and you've got a little girl, you've got a little boy, and I talk to my brother, and my oldest brother's got a little girl that's married now. The other one is graduating high school, and I'll say something about Brooklyn. He's like, "Well, don't turn around too many times. She's going to be grown. She's going to be grown. She's going to be gone out of your life and moving on and leaving the house." I'm like, "Whoa, let's slow down a little bit here." But that's the way life is. It just goes by so fast. Through Facebook, I've been connecting with people I knew in high school, and I'm like, it can't be 20 years since I graduated high school. That's just not possible. But it is. I take consolation in the fact that my sister is just a year or two away from 30. I don't give my brother a hard time that, just my sister, but they graduated the same year, just so you know. But life goes fast. As the commercial says, life comes at you fast. And that's where we need to stop. We've got to look at the need to take time to be holy. You see, it takes time to be holy. We studied this morning and last week about what was necessary to get the right answer from the Word of God. It takes a lot of diligence, and it takes honestly seeking the Word of God, seeking the Word of truth. It takes really digging within it. It takes time and effort. It takes time to change our life. Holiness must be pursued. If you look over in Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, let's read there in verse 14. The author of Hebrews has this to say. He says to us, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. We're to pursue two things. Peace and sanctification. Sanctification is another word for holiness. Pursue holiness. Seek after it. Holiness, we can see, is the fruit of service to God. Paul speaks in Romans chapter 6, there in verse 22, that now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in, once again, sanctification or holiness. The outcome, eternal life. Holiness is something that we must seek after. Holiness is something that we've got to stop and we've got to take the time to make a part of our life. It doesn't take time to live the life of the world, does it? You don't even have to put much thought into it. Well, that looks like fun. Let's do that. But to truly seek after holiness, to be holy as God is holy, we've got to take the time and we've got to refocus ourselves. We've got to remake ourselves. Holiness must be perfected. And so we've got to take time to be holy. It needs to be a priority in our lives. But how does one take time to be holy? Well, the song gives us some ideas in that. As we look in the song, we see the need to spend time with the Lord. The song encourages us to abide in Him always. You look in the second line of the first stanza. Abide with Him always. Look just below that in the second line. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. We've got to spend time with God. We've got to spend time with Him, talking with Him and letting Him talk with us. We see this in the song. The song tells us further to pray. He says, speak oft with thy Lord, forgetting in nothing His blessings to seek. Remembering the wonderful things that God has done for us and offering up prayer and thankfulness for those things, for those blessings we've received. Do we really speak off with our Lord, though? When we bow our heads in prayer before our meals and before we go to bed, is that really spending time with God? We read further in the song, he's speaking of the Word of God. He says, feed on His Word. You see, we've got to not only be talking to God, speaking to Him in prayer, but we've got to let Him do the talking to us. And do we really take the time that we need to be with the Lord? Through prayer, where the Lord is ready to intercede. We can read in the book of Hebrews in chapter 4, where we can read about our Savior, our High Priest, verse 15. We do not have a High Priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16 of Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Lord is there. He's our mediator. He's waiting. He understands. We think, oh, but this problem's all me. He would not. No, he gets it. That was the whole point of Him coming to this earth, so that He can understand the human frailty, so He can understand the human situation, so He can understand what we go through. That's why we're told He was tempted in all points, just as we are. There's no temptation you faced that He didn't face, that He doesn't understand, that He doesn't get the pain, the suffering, the sorrows of this life. Jesus knows. Jesus understands. And Jesus is there waiting to intercede for us. So let's spend time in prayer. We also need to spend time in the Word of God, which testifies of our gracious Lord. We noted this morning in John chapter 5, or I believe it was last week actually, in John chapter 5 and verse 39, where the Lord said to the priest, He said, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about Me. It is the Word of God, Old and New Testament, that tell us of Jesus Christ, that tell us of the plan that God had from the very beginning of time, the plan that came about in the culmination of Jesus being crucified there upon the cross. Knowing God's plan for us can help us to become holy. We need to spend time with God through speaking to Him in prayer and through spending time in His Word. But we also see in the song that part of being holy. One of the ways to take time to be holy is spending time with others. And this includes fellowship with other Christians. We read there in the song, make friends of God's children. There in the first verse, in that third line of the song, make friends of God's children. You know, I've spoken of this several times. We look into our lives. Who are our friends? You know, when we look into our lives and we ask ourselves, the friends that we have, people we work with oftentimes, right? People that we spend a lot of time with, people that we're around a lot. Why do we not have more friends that are within the church? Why do we not spend more time together with those that are, as we say, of the like precious faith? When we look at the early Christians, they continued steadfastly with one another. Not just in studying the Word of God, but just in common fellowship with one another. In Acts chapter 2, there in verse 42, we read that they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. We can read later where they came together daily, from house to house. They were going about daily, taking their meals together with gladness. Why do we not spend more time with one another? Because we're so busy, right? Because we're so caught up in the affairs of this world. Because we're so caught up in the things that are going on in surviving in this world, we forget that the survival that matters is spiritual. Oh, but Brother so-and-so never has me into his home. Well, have you invited Brother so-and-so into your home? Oh, but these people, they never invited... Have you invited them over? You see, it's a two-way street there. It's not, well, we expect Brother and Sister so-and-so to have everybody over all the time. We get together. You don't have to have the entire congregation over, but we need to spend time with one another. This helps to ensure faithfulness and steadfastness. The author of Hebrews writes of this in Hebrews chapter 3. In fact, it's a recurring theme throughout the book, the encouragement that we're to have for one another. In Hebrews chapter 3, beginning there in verse 12, the author of Hebrews says, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Pay attention to verse 13. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. I received a phone call from Brother Alfred today. It was great to be able to hear from him. He said he usually calls Miss Linda, and he said he's looking through his papers and he saw my number. He's like, I'm going to give Tim a call. And you know what? He may have been doing it for his own benefit, but I got a great amount of benefit just from some of the same things he said to me. It really encouraged me. You know, things are not always rosy in the life of a preacher. Things are not always going the way that you want them to go. And that little word of encouragement, that little word of appreciation. And we need to understand that our brothers and sisters in Christ need us. They don't need one or two brothers concerned in them. They need all of us concerned in them. We need to be spending time with each other. We need to be, as the song continues on, helping those who are weak. This is a responsibility that is placed upon Christians. If you would turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we want to begin reading there in verse 14. As the Apostle Paul is closing out this first epistle to the church there in Thessalonica, to the Christians there, he says in verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Take care of one. Be concerned with one another. Help those who are weak. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, the Apostle Paul says, I gave you this example. In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner you must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He Himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. But we live in a society where we like to receive, don't we? We live in a society that's filled with the giving of gifts, but we like to be more on the receiving end. And the thing is, we need to be giving more to our brethren. Instead of going, well, they never care for me. They don't visit me in the hospital. They don't send me cards. They never send me flowers. Well, what are we doing for them? What concern are we showing for them? We need to have a concern for one another. We need to be helping those who are weak. We need to be ministering our abilities to one another, as Peter speaks of in 1 Peter chapter 4. And so we can take time, we can take time to be holy by spending time with God and by spending time with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And as we continue to look at the song, we see that by taking time to be holy, by spending time with God, by spending time with our brothers and sisters in Christ, there are benefits that we receive in taking time. You'll be blessed with inner peace and happiness. You know, we live in a world today where people just, they don't understand the idea of inner peace. They think inner peace comes from yoga and all these other things. And I'm not knocking them. You know, there's some things, some of the religious teachings that go along with that I have a problem with. But, you know, exercise is good and things of that nature. And we need to be caring for our physical bodies and watching over our mind and everything. But, you know, there's nothing in this world that can truly provide us with peace. There's no thought process, no cleansing of the mind, no cleansing of the aura that will truly bring peace into our life. Only knowing our soul's destination can bring peace. Only knowing that we are in a right relationship with God, that we are taking time to be holy. That's why we see in the song, "Be calm in thy soul." One of the things that should be noticed about Christians, and I wish I knew the whole poem. I was supposed to have learned it in high school, but the poem, something about if you can keep your head while everyone around you is losing theirs, things of that nature goes on in the poem. And that's the way a Christian's supposed to be. You see, a Christian doesn't let the things of this world, it doesn't get to them. You want to kill me? Okay. That's fine. You can destroy this body, you cannot destroy my soul. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. The Apostle Paul said, I was hard torn between the two of going on and reaching the goal, but you need me here. But he was looking forward to being there, to finishing the course. As Christians, the things of this world that get down everyone else, it shouldn't affect us because we're just passing through. We're just sojourning. We sing the song, "This world is not my home," but do we mean it? Honestly. Because do we not get so caught up in the things of this world, in the stuff of this world? But if we truly take time to be holy, if we devote ourselves to God and to His Word, then these things that are troubling the world won't trouble us because we will understand that Jesus said, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness," and all these things, what we're going to eat, where we're going to sleep, what we're going to wear, all these things will be provided for us. Oh, once again, we need to remind ourselves, we won't have everything we want. But know this, you'll have everything you need physically. And really, what more should we want out of life? Because once again, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. You see, we can have peace. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, there in verse 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You catch what Paul's telling you to do? You know, the book that was out not too long ago, "Don't Sweat the Small Stuff," Paul's setting this up here. He says, don't worry about the things of this world. You turn all these things over to God. You let Him know you appreciate what He's done for you. You turn all of your requests over to Him and let the peace of God reign within you. The peace of God, so that we can be like Jesus in the midst of that storm. Remember? They were out there in the lake. They were out there and the storm come up around them and all the disciples were like, "Oh, we're going to die. How can you sleep? Master, we're perishing." What did He say? "Oh, ye of little faith." Why was He able to sleep when everyone else was worried? Because He knew the power of God. Yes, that does not mean that our life will be rosy, that our life will be exactly the way that we want it to be physically. But once again, we've got to let go of the things of this world and focus ourselves, focus our mind on eternal life. You'll be blessed with inner peace and happiness through frequent prayer. You're also blessed with inner peace and happiness through meditation upon the Word of God. One of my favorite passages in the Scriptures is the first Psalm. If you would turn over to Psalm 1, and I want to read the first three verses of that Psalm. It's a very encouraging passage of Scripture. We oftentimes go to the 23rd Psalm and look at that, and that's a very encouraging passage of Scripture. But look at Psalm 1. Verse 1, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers." You want to know how to be calm in your soul? Spend time praying to God, turning all of your concerns over to Him, and then spend time in reading His Word, in delighting in the law of the Lord, and meditating on that law. And you'll never want for anything that you need. We'll be blessed also with renewed strength. We sing in the song, "Each thought and each motive beneath His control." We need to have the attitude that the Apostle Paul had in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 when he said, "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." I tell you what, Paul had a great belief in the power of Jesus Christ, did he not? Let's go back in the life of the Apostle Paul. He's there in Damascus. He's obeyed the gospel. Best guess is he spent some time out in the Arabian desert, somewhere either in the Arabian desert or his time there in Damascus. Jesus gives him some personal teaching. And in that personal teaching, he tells Paul, these are the things that you're going to have to suffer. You're going to die. You're going to face kings. You're going to face beasts. You're going to have the worst this life can offer. Now go preach. And Paul's mantra was, "I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me." You want me to go stand before King Agrippa? I'll do it. You want me to appeal to Caesar knowing that it will bring about my death? I'll do it. I can do anything that the Lord desires of me. I can face anything the world can throw at me. We can get renewed strength by spending time in His Word, by taking time to be holy. We can also see an increase in the realization of God's love. We sing in the song, "Led by His Spirit to fountains of love." The Spirit brings this love of God within us in Romans chapter 5. In Romans 5, there in verse 5, we read that hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The love of God is given to us by the Holy Spirit-inspired Word. We see that the fruit of the Spirit is love, Galatians 5. And verse 22, is this not sufficient motivation to take time to be holy? But not only were we blessed with renewed strength and increased realization of God's love and inner peace and happiness, but we'll be more Christ-like. As you look at the song there in the second verse, in the third line, we read the words, "Like Him thou shalt be." Like Jesus, we will become. You see, that's the purpose of being a disciple. That's the ultimate goal of being a disciple, to become like the Master. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 40, "A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone after he has been fully trained will be like his teacher." The purpose of our life, the purpose of us being a child of God, is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. This is what the Apostle Paul writes of in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, where he predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. That's the purpose for us to become more like Christ. But we oftentimes find ourselves being more like the world, don't we? Why? Because that's who we spend the most time with. You know, it's always funny, you know, you see the stories where husbands and wives, you know, they get married and they begin to look more and more alike. Have you ever noticed that? Or people and their pets, they oftentimes, they seem to have similar mannerisms and everything. Why? Because they spend so much time with one another. You want to be more like Christ? Spend more time with Him. Spend more time with those who are trying to be like Him. And you see, this is a transformation that should be noticed by others. We sing in the song, "Thy friends and thy conduct, His likeness shall see." In other words, they see Christ Jesus living within us. They see in us a mirror image of the Savior. They see in us the way that they should be. This is a result of spending time with Jesus. You go over to Acts chapter 4. And I've said it many, many times. Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, you can throw him in there as well, but Peter, James, and John were in the inner sanctum. They were the inner group of the apostles. They went with Jesus in places where the other apostles didn't get to go. When he went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, who was there? Peter, James, and John. When he went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, who did he take with him as he went a little further? Peter, James, and John. And it's interesting, when we get over to Acts chapter 4 and we've got Peter and John preaching, Peter and John were fishermen. Ignorant fishermen. Well, how do you know they were ignorant? Okay, let's go and look in Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, Luke records for us, "Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men." Look at what's said about them. "They were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus." You remember Peter? The night that Jesus was betrayed, the night that Jesus was going through all the trials and ordeals that were leading up to His crucifixion, and Peter was there in the courtyard, and the slave girl comes up, "Hey, you're one of those Galileans that went around with Jesus." "No, it's not me." As we continue on, they go, You talk like Him." They could tell, just in the 3 years that Peter had spent with Jesus, that he was a disciple of Christ. Can people tell that we're Christians? Can people tell that we are Christ-like? Do they see a transformation that's noticeable? As we noted in our lesson this morning, as Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15, "Take pains with these things, be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all." They should be able to see how much more like Christ we're becoming. We should run into our old friends and they go, "Wow, you've really changed. You're not the fellow that we used to know. You're not the girl that I knew in high school. You're different. You're a Christian, aren't you?" "Thy friends and thy conduct, His likeness shall see." We can also see that by taking time to be holy, becoming more Christ-like, we are prepared for greater service. As you look at the very end of the song, "Thou soon shall be fitted for service above." Think about what he's saying there for a moment. He's not saying that we can go upstairs in the next room and we'll be... He's talking about we're prepared for service in heaven. We're prepared for service like we read in the book of Revelation with the beast and the elders. And those that were underneath the altar and those that are surrounding the Lord and are constantly giving praise and homage to the Lord. In Revelation 7 and verse 15, John records in his visions, "For this reason they are before the throne of God and they serve Him day and night in His temple, and He who sits on the throne will spread His tabernacle over them." Going on to the last of the book, chapter 22 and verse 3, "There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and His bondservants will serve Him." You see, by taking time to be holy, we prepare ourselves so that we're ready for our eternal place. Question for you this evening is, are you taking the time to be holy so that you are prepared? There is nothing unholy in heaven. And if you look into your life and you ask yourself, you know, am I spending time with God? Am I spending time with His people? Am I spending time in His Word? And you have to go, no, no, and no. Then heaven is not your home. If you're not taking time to be holy here upon this earth, rest assured, you'll never be holy. If you don't have time for God now, He will not have time for you. You'll be one of those that He'll turn and go, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness," or "Depart from me, I never knew you." And we'll go, "But Lord, look at what we've done for you. Look at how much I've done for you, how much I've served you." And He says, "You didn't have time for me here upon this earth. you lost your eternal reward. I don't think anyone present this evening wants that said to them. So perhaps we need to rededicate ourselves to service to the Lord. Perhaps we need to focus ourselves once again, not just on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, but every day we are taking time to be holy. Every day we are concerned with our spiritual welfare. Every day we're concerned with the spiritual welfare of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's not get so caught up in the cares and concerns of this world and focus ourselves on the one thing that truly matters: eternal life. Oh yes, we can work hard and we can make a lot of money and we can have all the misery that that money can provide for us. We can lay up treasures here upon this earth, and what will we have on the day of eternity? Fire, brimstone, weeping, gnashing of teeth. That's what the pleasures and treasures and cares and concerns of this world will get you. Do you need to refocus your life on God? Tonight is your opportunity. Perhaps you've never focused your life on God. Perhaps you need to confess your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and turn your life over to Him, making your life holy in the sight of God, cleansing yourself, and devoting your life. We need to understand that's what we're doing when we obey the gospel. We are saying, it's no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus within me. The old man of sin, the old Tim Henderson, the old person, he's gone. He's removed. He's no more. I'm now a child of God. Number 266 has been chosen as a song of invitation. And the phrase that is uttered throughout is, have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost for the way that you're living? For the things that you consider most important? If you have not been putting God first, if you have not been taking the time to be holy, take that time this night as we stand and as we sing.